Hey everyone, this is Semler, and you're listening to TCR.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to a new edition of the Center Ring, your favorite esports podcast, aka TCR. Episode 53 coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, March 15th, 2017. The time, 8:04 p.m. We have a wonderful show for you tonight, if I can be honest with you. Quite possibly the best episode ever. The normal crew's here today. Of course, my name is Tim. The gentleman across from me is Brett. Brett, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
You enjoying that microphone?
Oh, yeah. I'm all up in this microphone.
And Anuj is back.
Back in the saddle, baby.
Back from your work trip.
Back from my work trip.
If that's what you want to call it.
It was something like that.
The Bahamas?
It was the Bahamas.
We hate
5 days
and
in Atlantis,
it was for
all
work.
Paid for, and got a nice little award. It was exciting.
You definitely voted for Trump.
I'm brown, fool.
Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Get involved with the show on our Discord. Let us know what is up. We have a little community building there. We'd love to hear from you. But as far as today's show goes, we're going to talk a little bit VR, the reality of the virtual world, if you will. Kind of, I know Anuj is big into that, so he's gonna kind of tell us what's up with that, where its place is in esports. We're gonna preview a little bit about the MLG Dallas tournament coming up for Call of Duty, and when I say a little bit, I mean a little bit. Like, we're gonna let you know exactly what you need to know.
Oh yeah, we're breaking it down.
Wall-to-wall coverage. But before we get into that, I kind of want to give a little update on the show, give a little news going, just for the show news, I guess, if you will. Because as a listener, you might care. You might not. If you don't care about just show about the news, skip forward like 3 minutes and deal with it. But if you do, thank you for sticking along. So a few things about TCR. We have a CSGO server. We pop from time to time in there. It's a nice little 10-man, 128 tick.
Change it to 1v1s.
Change it to 1v1s.
Practice config. We just mess around in there, so feel free to join us.
So if you have nothing to do, we want to kind of start getting groups together and do 10-mans or whatever in our server. Just search TCR and let it run. Eventually, the community server list that is terrible in CSGO will find the server.
Or you can just hop into Discord if you don't see anyone in the server and want to play and just let us know. We'll hop in anytime with you.
That is the best option there, too, because chances are we won't just be chilling in there. We're also trying to work on a new logo for the show. I don't know why. I just get bored with logos. It's just what I do. We can't really find anything we like. We're not creative people. If you have suggestions, let us know on Twitter.
And I feel like every time someone comes up with something, the other person's like, the other two are like, eh.
No. Not
just
really.
Not it. No, I'm not feeling really. It.
Maybe we throw it on Twitter for a vote, and if we get 7 votes, we will decide off of that.
That is, so you're saying that we would get 7 votes?
Let's go for at least 7.
Okay.
And you're banking on the internet being
That is setting the bar really high that you think there are 7 people who pay attention to our Twitter. That's what I'm worried about.
We got 3 in the room.
To be honest, the reason I haven't put it on Twitter is in fear that we would only get 7 votes. And then it's like, well, that's okay.
All right, well.
Thank you, 7 people who...
GG show.
And 4 not including
to
us.
Click it. Thank you. Thank you for that. Exciting stuff. And we'll talk about DreamHack Austin more in the coming weeks and a little later on in the show. But we have secured our table for DreamHack Austin. There will be 10 of us there, just friends and stuff going there. So if you are going to DreamHack Austin, let us know.
Love to meet up.
Well, chill. We got a B&B. If you're a lady, hit me up.
Whatever, man. I'm a happily married man.
Yeah, I'm a married man too. And probably no show next week. Just a heads up. I'm out of town. And let's face it, you guys aren't going to do a show without me. So.
At least you're having to carry us somewhere.
That's true. That's true. That's about it for show news. That's it. CSGO server. Hit us up on Twitter for new logo ideas. Hit us up on Discord always. And hit us up if you're going to DreamHack Austin on the respective Twitter or Discord. Either one of those will work. But now that show news is done, let's get on to e-news. Tons of stuff happening. We had a week off. Every time there's a week off, there's just a lot more news to cover. So some of this might be old. Deal with it. It's not like we're breaking anything ever on this show. I am Katowice and CSGO wrapped up where Astralis ended up taking out FaZe in the finals, where Immortals and Heroic tied for third and fourth. I liked it. I watched a lot of this. I wish we had a show last week because I really wanted to break it down more, but because we didn't, I will just say my two cents is Astralis and FaZe is, I think, building up to be a really fun rivalry.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
First time against each other was amazing. Well, a lot of fun to watch.
It's a you have former members on FaZe.
Kerrigan, former member of Astralis.
Astralis,
right?
Yeah. And then
he was our IGL.
Yep. Yeah. And then Nico, it was his first tournament on FaZe. And man,
he went off.
Nico.
You want to look at, right. And that's the difference is like Nico can switch another team and not lose a beat. Look at other roster moves. Look at, you know, the Optic Gaming and Liquid switch. And that's not really shaping up good for any of them.
Mm, yeah.
Like Stanislaw on Optic isn't working out. Hiko on, or flip flop that. Hiko on Optic isn't working out. Stanislaw on Liquid isn't really panning out either.
They're trying to get Rush now.
Are they? Yeah. Is that rumor that
it's a rumor, or Liquid it's a rumor at least, trying that they're trying to get Rush. And
your sources tell you?
Who was it? One more player off the team. Tarik. Trying to acquire both of them potentially from Optic.
So
yeah,
so Stannis was playing chess and everybody else
so
was playing checkers.
He really just wanted to change jerseys is all.
Yeah.
Because if you're just going to move over, right.
Probably got some money out of it too.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it makes sense because they were legit sad that he left. It was like, we just lost Stanislaw.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rush, those were the two in the video, right? Where they both said, like, he was one of our best friends. Like, we played with him for a long time. That's, yeah. You know,
but
Rush was saying.
Back to IEM, I was pretty stoked to see Immortals and Heroic in the semis. It just mixed it up a little bit. It was not your same typical five powerhouse teams, and it was good to see both of whom are coming to DreamHack Austin, mind you. So also exciting.
Both of those rosters are legit, and we get to see those. We get to see those guys up close and personal.
That'll be fun.
And late April. So
speaking of late April at DreamHack Austin, the teams have been kind of trickling out. I think they've been doing about one a day so far. They've been announced. G2 was the first one, which that's huge.
Oh yeah.
Last DreamHack Austin had nobody.
SK.
Okay, but no European, I guess. European. SK was the only real team there. I guess at the time, Liquid was something, but
this was the high profile move in that, you know, that whole shuffle. And I'm excited to see the French super team
first land for them. It'll be a good warm up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need to play together on land, so this is a good event to do.
Cloud9 was also announced. That's a given. You're going to have NA's darling there. Right. That's always going.
Comes back out.
It's almost like of course, that was going to come out regardless. But it was almost it's almost like in their contract that you're going to go to every NA tournament if you're Cloud9. And then what was announced? Immortals was announced yesterday. And then...
Heroic today.
Okay.
Good four so far.
They're good teams, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, those are four solid teams.
I'm not complaining.
You got four top 10 teams right there, don't you?
And then what? So we have two... Brett, you were breaking it down for me earlier. There's two more invites, and then two teams are qualifying?
For DreamHack?
Yeah. Well, isn't that what you were saying?
No. I was talking about the major. The PGL major today.
Misinformation. Fake news. That's all we deliver.
Do not listen to me. It's like you tune me out.
Married.
We had an entire conversation about that.
Are you sure?
And I was like, oh, they're doing a qualifier for DreamHack Austin? And you were like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, what is it now? I'm confused. There is.
But no, you're right. There is going to be a qualifier. Yeah.
That was pretty recent.
Dude, you know what? I am sleep deprived. Give me a break.
Wait, two more invited teams and then two qualify. Is that right?
According to Brett.
Okay, so
that is not official TCR stance on this.
We're not breaking anything here, if that's incorrect.
Update you later on.
I'm on it.
But in other really big news, the next CSGO major was announced, where PGL is getting their first major at Krakow in Poland. So that's going to be great. They just had Katowice, so everyone knows the crowd will show up, especially for a major. What do you got there?
All right, so the qualifiers in both Europe and North America will be played on the weekend of March 25th through the 26th.
And that's for Austin. DreamHack Austin. Okay.
For DreamHack Austin.
Okay, good.
Each handing out one spot.
Who are the qualifying teams, do we know?
They haven't announced them yet.
Okay.
Team Mythic.
Please.
I hope they go.
Summit's return to Austin.
So PGL, that's exciting. I think that'll be a good place to host the event. Satticus already came out and said that... he got a chance to speak with them on the side, and they had mentioned that there were some groundbreaking things that they're doing. So really? He's like, get ready for like a game changer
so
type
PGL
thing.
So PGL has always had really high production. Like, I remember, for me anyway, I'm sure somebody may have done this before, so don't quote me on it. But for me, they were one of the first ones to get like kind of the ISO cam flying around the map and make it look really smooth.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they do it. I'm sure it has to be programmed. There's no way someone with a mouse is flying around the map like how they're doing it. But PGL always has a good show there.
ESL was butthurt, by the way, with the tweet.
Yes, they did tweet.
Yeah.
Speaking of ESL, though, so the Krakow Major is going to be July 16th through the 23rd.
Yeah.
Okay? ESL 1 Cologne is the weekend before the Major.
Yeah.
So, and ESL 1 Cologne, like, that's not a... that's not a tournament people are going to pass up.
They've already sold 7,000 tickets, they said.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay, and correct me if I'm wrong. Is the prize pool 250 or 250. The winning, the first
no.
place gets?
Prize pool is 250.
Okay. Prize pool is 250.
They didn't deserve another major, though, until they get their stuff together. They had a lousy one last go around. They've just had issues. I think it's a good wake-up call for them, and if PGL can come out with something that we would consider mind-blowing or innovative or just... a smooth, flawless production, it puts other people on the line to come through also, and it shows what it takes to get it. So I'm glad it wasn't handed to them. I'm disappointed that they're so close to one another,
because
both tournaments
because
are really good
Cologne
tournaments.
Cologne historically is
oh,
a
it's been
big
great.
Tournament.
It is.
Like, that's where teams are, like, that's just part of their year is Cologne.
It's going to be interesting to see who accepts the invite to go do that, because that's a lot of travel. You know, it's just tiring, I'm sure, for them to go from side to side and get your mind right before a major.
At least they're close, though.
Yeah.
It's, you know, German and Poland. I've heard, I've never been over there, but it's so close, like, you could actually invade one.
It's less than pinky length across on the map.
Right. So it's not, like, you could literally take an entire army from one on foot to the other, and if you really wanted to.
They did, Tim.
See, so there you go. That proves my point. It's perfect.
We don't usually get political on this show, but today.
Not political. That's top shelf humor. So I think that will be good. I will say my beef with this, though, and in a perfect world, I get it. This is not how it's done. In a perfect world, though, in my perfect world, we would know the four majors before the year even starts. I think it's dumb that we announce this.
The year of. Yeah, that's weird to me, too.
If you want to make
it. It's not even that. It's close. It's not even that far away.
Right. Like,
so,
if we were going to go, like, we would have to be scrambling right now to try to plan this trip.
Exactly. I mean, like in tennis, you know where the French Open's going to be.
Right.
You know where the U.S. Open's going to be. It's...
You know when.
That's
the biggest
always,
thing is you know when.
Right. My, like, always go-to is tennis,
even
because
they
do it right.
Announce the location right away, to at least announce the date so you don't have other competing tournaments so close to you like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think... We could probably save this whole discussion for another show, so real quick, and then we'll move on to more e-news, as I think Valve could easily sanction... I mean, it's already sanctioned tournaments, right? That's Valve's decision to give majors to people.
Yeah.
What is stopping Valve from just doing basically a year-long league and then saying, like, look, these are going to be our sanctioned tournaments, You guys can have other tournaments in between, but just keep in mind it's completely up to the teams if they want to do those tournaments.
And yeah. Give people time to build up to it, you know?
Yeah, it's we've talked about it on the show, but you could go here. Yeah, I mean, we could fill in a 45-minute show just on how poorly it's done.
Because we weren't doing that before the show, too.
We got a new map, yay.
Oh, there you go. You got a new map to go in. What's it called? Canals. They just announced it on our way up to the studio. An update coming to CSGO where they're finally adding a new map, which is pretty funny.
Straight to the competitive.
A couple hours ago,
which is good. I mean,
right?
Should be fun. Let's see how the map is.
In before they announce that it's going to be at the major and pros freak out.
You heard it here first.
My sources tell me that anyways.
Anonymous.
In Dota 2, speaking of majors, Dota 2 Kiev major, it's been announced. It's going to be April 27th through the 30th. But finally, that's a $3 million prize pool, by the way. Finally, we know all 16 teams that are going to be there. I'm not going to list all 16, but over the weekend, you had teams like Team Secret, Team Onyx qualify, Virtus Pro will be there, Invictus Gaming qualified. On the flip side, some of the invited teams, of course, you have OG, Team Liquid, Evil Genius. I mean, those are the staples in Dota. But Team Secret, they've been from last year, the last two majors, I should say, Team Secret used to be like number one. Then they made some shady roster moves, IMO, and it's kind of fallen apart for them as far as their structure goes. But they were able to qualify for the Kiev major in the, April 27th through the 30th. That's DreamHack Austin.
That is.
Oh, well.
Looks like we're not watching that.
Yeah, well, we'll see what I can fit in
we'll
weekend.
Catch
we got a pretty busy weekend. Okay. Well, sorry.
You can give Heroes of the Storm updates from there.
Sorry, Dota 2. Yeah, right. Yeah. I can give you the update on the Hearthstone tournament going on. In other news, though, Final Round happened this weekend for Street Fighter. It was Final Round was the first official Capcom Pro event of the year. It was their first premier tournament where they awarded points for the Pro League in Street Fighter, where, I'm going to screw this name up. Chien, I think that's how you say it. 400 points he secured by taking first place. So he starts the year off, you know, I think it's like 200 points above second place. So that's always good to start off the year. If that's just started now. So if Street Fighters is your thing, keep an eye on that. Twitter partners with DreamHack and ESL, which doesn't mean a whole lot from the article, but Twitter is going to want to start broadcasting tournaments. I don't think that means exclusive. God, I hope not, because YouTube gaming is already bad enough.
So are we talking about like the promoted, like when you don't follow somebody and you see promoted at the bottom? Is that what I guess it helps to get the word?
I'm assuming how they do it with the NFL.
I mean, we were talking about that a few weeks ago, is that you only know what's happening in that scene because you're following it.
Right.
I mean, so if they're promoting it.
No.
Was that last week?
Yeah, I think it was
last episode.
Yeah.
Okay, we brought up the point how it's difficult to follow other leagues. Oh, yeah, it was last week because we were talking about Rocket League.
Yeah.
And how it's difficult to get into games unless you're already in that scene. I.e., when we start talking about Call of Duty, you will quickly find out that we are not diehard Call of Duty. I watch them when it's on, but I don't know when things are going on in Call of Duty because I'm not as tuned into it as I am CSGO or Dota. So it's difficult unless you're in that gaming scene.
You have to look for the information yourself.
And that's if you get lucky and see it on Twitch at the time, right? Half the time you won't know that there's a big tournament going on. And last thing here in E! News, and then we'll get on to the MLG Dallas preview, is Washington, D.C. is sponsoring NRG, rumored to be six-figure deal. That's all I got. Sweet.
So I guess they get a stadium.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Nice place.
I don't know.
I want to see how it works out. Let's see. I mean, rebranding now? Or
I take all those type of sponsorship deals with a grain of salt because it's like when you hear like, like the Miami Heat invested in, I mean, they're just investors. You literally gave them money and said, call me when this is successful.
I want to see if there's any involvement.
Right, exactly. But
I like that teams are being tied to cities though.
It may complicate things when the Overwatch League starts because, you know, they're bidding off spots to cities. The Overwatch League is bidding off their teams. So it may be weird, like if all of a sudden
they're already tied to one.
The Detroit Renegades is bought out by Los Angeles or whatever.
That'd be interesting to see. You would hope it would be kind of the organization as a whole.
That's
going to
be
a
mess that I don't have to get involved with, and I'm just going to wait and see when this Overwatch League starts. When it does, it's taking forever.
I mean, matches that don't start at the butt crack of dawn.
That's the Apex. That's in Korea, so that's a completely different. This is Blizzard's league that's taking forever now. But moving on, we're done with e-news. I want to get into this MLG Dallas preview because that is this weekend for Call of Duty. I wanted to go to it, but being that I'm going out of town on Sunday and tickets ain't cheap. $50 for a 3-day pass. If they had a 1-day pass, I'd get it, but they only do 3-day passes. So this is one of MLG's and the Call of Duty World League. This is one of their big tournaments of the year where 160 teams are competing between North America, Europe, and Asia. So I will always tip my hat to MLG that the fact that they let these Cinderella stories kind of happen, you know, like we could theoretically go and compete. And then if you make it out of the open bracket, then you would go on to pool play.
Yeah, I saw something like 128 slots for NA and 128 slots for EU or something like that. It was
Brett? You and me can make it out there.
Hey, you know what?
Out of the 160 teams that are in the open bracket, which is literally like anyone signing up your team, four of them will make it to the pool play where the already established pro teams are playing.
Easy money.
So that's pretty insane that you think it's a double elimination out of 160 teams.
You gotta
four
win a ton.
Of them will be relevant.
So is it 2 NA, 2 EU, I'm guessing?
Top four.
Okay.
Four teams from the open one here.
You know what? That is neat, though. I like that.
In pool play, it's 20 teams, the top 9 North American, 5 European, and 2 Asian, plus 4 from the open bracket.
Okay. That's pretty neat.
And then from there, the top 2 teams from each pool will move on to the championship bracket.
Could that work for CS? That'd be fun.
It already takes them like a week to get done a 16-man tournament. Is no way they could organize. Plus, man, this is console. This is on PS4. You just plug in your controller and you go. Could you imagine all those people getting up from computers and setting all their... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It doesn't work as well with PCs, I don't think, anymore.
Doesn't. No.
Back in the day when things were simple, sure, yeah. But now it's everyone's got their own setup and hold on, I got to warm up, and it's just...
Yeah, I mean, Call of Duty matches don't last too long, so...
No, they don't, and you're right, CSGO, I mean, there's
you
no...
Be there an
it would
hour
have
and
to
half.
Be best of ones.
Yeah,
that's all it would be.
You would have to be best of ones to try to space it out evenly. But like when I competed at MLG for Rainbow and Halo, I mean, it was simple. You know, you plug in your controller and you'd go. There was no warm-ups, there was nothing. You would just play and hope for the best, and... Trying to remember, for Halo, it was just... No, it was best of one, I think, but it was double elimination. For Rainbow, I think it was a best of three double elimination. I'm trying to think. It changed depending on how you got when I was a semi-pro, that is. And then that's really it. Some of the teams, though, that I'm looking forward to here as far as teams to watch out for, obviously Cloud9. They're my boys. They've been awful, though. Cloud9 and Call of Duty historically suck at LAN. You have EU United, who...
Wait, for Call of Duty or CS?
Just in general.
Just making sure
ended at Cloud9 typically sucks, and you're probably accurate.
At LAN.
You have EU United, who the last thing that they won...
It was huge. It was that Cinderella story win for them.
Right. Right, that's the one where they got like eliminated at the Atlanta Open.
They
beat Optic at the Atlanta Open, though. That's the one where
they
lost and fought all the way back through losers and beat Optic. That was kind of... Optic got second place, so I don't know if you can really call it an upset, but it was an upset.
They were definitely favored to win.
Yes, they were the favorite, so I guess by definition it's an upset.
Yeah.
And then Optic, though, turned around and won in Paris.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were really hurt from it, right? They kind of... got hit in the face, and I'm like, okay, let's take it serious. Now, by rule of TCR, though, we don't talk about Optic. So, I hope you lose.
Why is that?
So you don't know the story?
I don't.
Do you know the story?
Yeah, I know the story.
Probably a year ago, Optic, they came out with a book, right? For the Call of Duty side, basically saying how they became the Green Wall and their history of when they like just dominated Call of Duty and how they started up. And it came out and probably a year ago. It's not a terrible book. It's not like an amazing read either. It's interesting, but you can definitely tell it's written by a bunch of professional gamers. Probably couldn't do any better myself. So I was like, oh man, it would be great. Let's do like a book review on the show, and I'll email the team, see if anyone wants to come on, promote the book. That makes sense. The book came out. Let's promote it. Email Optic. They email me back, I think within the night. They were pretty good about it. I was like, great. We're getting conversation going. And they're like, yes, you know, we'll come on the show. That's no problem. We'll talk about it. What, just real quick though, what are kind of your numbers? With how many listeners do you get? I was like, oh, don't worry about it. So I send them our listener numbers, which are okay, by the way. They're
not as bad as you all think, okay,
no,
guys?
No, I know, like, maybe two people respond to me on Twitter, but we have at least a dozen people who listen to the show.
We broke 10,000 downloads, so don't forget.
I email Optic. The numbers? Never heard from them. They
vanished.
They didn't even say, you know what, man? We're busy. We'll call you. We'll call you. No, straight up left me out.
Put that Optic wall up and like, disappeared in the secret, man.
That green wall on TCR.
Wall.
Left me on the front porch just waiting for them to come outside. And I'm like, well, I emailed them again. And I was like, hey, don't know if you got my last email. Still interested in the interview. If you are, nothing. Nothing.
Damn.
Straight
we should
up,
give them another chance.
Straight up put me to the spam folder. No, I made a promise to myself. The next time I talk to Optic is when they come to us. And then I'm going to say, maybe next show. Maybe next episode. Not this upcoming one out of principle, but I'll get you on the next one.
Optic, if you show up to DreamHack Austin, I might introduce myself and fix this relationship.
You can do that. You can't heal a broken heart.
I like Hector's the problem. He's like a cool owner.
Well, maybe he's cool, but the person who runs their email account broke my heart.
Their video
they
logs
spit,
are pretty light.
They spit on this podcast.
That's rough.
They
you know what?
Spit on everyone's favorite esports podcast.
Let's hate their PR department.
So that's the story of Optic versus TCR, where they big timed me is what they did.
If you need me to have your back, I got your back. I'll hate them with you if you want me to.
Now, to also branch off, though, to MLG Dallas here, okay? If you are a listener and you particularly see yourself as a good Call of Duty follower, an eSports Call of Duty competitive follower, hit us up on our Discord or Twitter on sites that you use to track their stuff down. Like I said, I watch professional Call of Duty, but when it came to trying to do the research and trying to find stats and everything to get a real conversation going, like, believe it or not, we just don't know all the information we spit. Typically, it takes we work hard, right? We do the research to know what we're talking about. Dude, there is nothing for Call of Duty.
Please don't give us the Reddit link. We tried that. We need more.
This is like the official Activision World League for Call of Duty, and their website has nothing.
Like, you have to be part of their underground network to know anything about it.
I don't understand how anyone does anything for Call of Duty. There's nowhere to look at box scores, nothing. I thought CSGO was bad.
What about the score? Does that have anything? Have you tried that?
It has a section, but, you know, the score.
There's no news to go on to go along with it.
Yeah, it's just
no updates.
Not a lot of updates, and the score typically for those type of games, they just don't have as many writers, and it's just old news, and it's okay.
Not enough. It's not enough information, right. But at least it's something to see, like, box scores at the
very
least.
They're good at reviews.
Yeah.
You don't get as much previews. Like, and I don't like reading previews that much, because I like looking at the box score, getting the numbers, and then telling the story myself through how I see the numbers.
Getting to analyze the
game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I read, you know, Richard Lewis's thoughts on something, I don't want to just read his thoughts and then try to regurgitate it. I want to look at the numbers myself and be like, okay, well, this is how I see it. Call of Duty is very difficult to do that with, though. They had nothing online to try to do any type of research other than, like, post-tournament results. And even that was scraping the bottom of some websites.
Yeah, like, I want to see. I want to find out about pool A. Okay, I got to go to this link. Well, why isn't pool B and C on this same page? And why do I got to go over here to see that? What's going on?
It was rough, dude. So, but nonetheless, I think Optic Gaming will win despite my broken heart.
Bold prediction, Tim.
Yeah, well, that's what we do here on the show. Well, I want to move on, though, to this next topic, which is VR. Virtual reality. I've said it here on the show before, and I think I've talked to you guys before, where I never got it. I tried, my first time trying it was at DreamHack Austin last year.
Which was funny to watch, by the way.
That 20-second demo.
Yeah, it's like a very, and it wasn't even play. I mean, it was literally just you moving. I don't even think they had
controllers. Oh, they did. Remember, they had space shooting game.
Okay.
Crap was coming.
But was that a Vive?
It was a Vive.
Okay, it was a Vive. All right. You have an Oculus Rift.
I do.
So we'll get to that in a second. And then I have, with my phone, I have a Samsung, and it came with the Samsung VR.
Not the same thing.
And that's basically what my opinion from it came from, was DreamHack for 20 seconds and then my phone. I was like, this is stupid. I don't get it. It's not that immersive. I'm sitting here and I know I have a giant thing on my face and people are looking at me like I'm an idiot. I don't get it. It's not that great. I don't see it going anywhere.
But then,
Anuj invited me to his house. His new house, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you, my friend.
I tried your Oculus Rift, and this hater became a believer. Because, my God, it was awesome. Like, you definitely have to go over to his house, Brett, and play on his Rift.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'll send out the invites.
No.
Whatever, man.
You just show up.
Just come over anytime. I would love for you to try it. No, it's... So let me preface this by saying, for those of you that know a little bit about VR, I'm not a technical connoisseur of the headset. I enjoy the games. I know what I'm playing. I know what I like, kind of thing, right? So that's where my experience come from. I have a 360 setup. So it's, you know, you can fully turn around. And after the new Oculus update, that's, you know, been pretty sweet. I wanted Tim to try it because a new game came out called Robo Recall. And for those of you that are unaware of what Robo Recall is, it's essentially Time Crisis mixed with iRobot. And you have an opportunity to shoot these, you know, robots that are essentially coming at you, and it's a Time Crisis like level based game. And so me and Tim got to talking, if this could potentially move into esports, and let me again preface this by saying it's not there yet, you know, but the potential for it, there's games out there like Onward, which picture an Arma kind of game where they do 5-on-5 setups, you know, attached to your in-game body. You have your, you know, your armor, which has a speaker on the top right shoulder, so you physically have to go grab it to like talk. It has grenades attached to your belt.
But now, clips. The thing with this, so this is all kind of hearsay, right? Or is this?
No, this is a real game.
Okay,
Onward is a real game, which I own.
Okay,
that you can actually play right now.
He owns it.
Okay, so it is. You try that next time you come over. And so, thinking of that and where that could go to, I mean, there's a possibility for it on a much smaller scale because it's a unique market. VR is not for everybody.
No.
To be in the headset, to be walking around, first of all, it's going to take somebody who is relatively in shape depending on the game you play. You know?
This is true, but it also takes some... Like, for example, when I played it, I was not moving around. It took me a while. Like, I probably played for, like, what, an hour?
Yeah.
I bet you it wasn't until about 40 minutes in where I was actually, like, moving with the game,
starting to get a feel for it.
Right, getting a feel for it and being like, oh wait, I can move my feet. This works that way. So like, and then I watched you play it and you almost broke your door.
Almost broke the door. That would have been rough.
That would have been awesome. Oh, that's another thing we added. I forgot to put that in the show news. We do have an Instagram. I'm in charge of it. I suck at Instagram. Like, Anuj had to show me how to post on it.
I might be taking it over.
We could just give logins to everyone and that way. But follow us on Instagram. I don't know what the hell you're going to do with it, but it's there.
We'll start to post stuff. I'll get on there. I'll be a little active on there for us and put some fun stuff up there for y'all to see. But yeah, I mean, back to VR. It's something worth keeping an eye on because I think there will be a community for it. In the esports space, there's a game called Unspoken where they already do tournaments right now.
Really?
It's a 1v1 game. You're essentially on a platform. You're both picture, I guess, wizards kind of thing. And based on your hand movements, you shoot out different... you shoot out, like, different weapon-based skills that you have based on your movements of your hands. Because in VR, you have the touch controllers. You can use your hands. It senses how you're holding a gun or if your palms are open or closed. So you are on a platform. You're trying to kill the guy across from you. It's neat. You have to try it to like get a feel for it. But what I'm saying is there's already tournaments going on and people are getting more and more involved as technology becomes better. The graphics look better to everybody.
This is, well, that that robot game. Like, those graphics look
If the
legit.
Game is built for VR, it's fantastic. It's the games that are not built for VR that make it a little bit more difficult to play. I've played CS in it, for example.
Really?
It's not a fun experience. they've added, like, locomotion where you can move instead of teleporting in different games. There's a lot coming out in VR. It's just something I think we should keep an eye on. It's trending in the right direction, and I think a year from now, we will kind of see where this thing goes to.
And I'm more interested to see where the genres go, because like you even told me about like an RTS, right?
There's an RTS
Aren't they
coming
an
out.
RTS
so
where it's supposed to be kind of really just you controlling the map.
For your RTS fans, you'll all know Age of Empires 2, one of the best RTSs in my opinion of all time. Those developers have made a game called Brass Tactics, which comes out October, or maybe it's Q3, they said, somewhere in Q3 of this year. You control the whole map with your hands, which that's pretty neat. Building up buildings, controlling your troops, position them on who they attack. So that'll be cool from not maybe an esports side, but a competitive gaming aspect. And that's where it needs to go first. It needs to go competitive, then transition into esports, obviously.
See, I'm in on that. Like, because one of my favorite movies is Minority Report. And Tom Cruise, he's moving things around with his hands. I mean, that seems like it would be pretty cool.
And I think you said something really good there, Nuge, where it needs to be competitive before it can be in esports, which is, let's face it, even on PC or Xbox, there are a lot of games that screw up because they try to make it an esport before they try making it a fun competitive game. I think of games like Paragon or Smite.
Paladins
or all these games where, like, Paladins, they had a tournament when it was like open beta.
They've announced another tournament coming
like
up.
Like a Founders tournament where it was like people who are in open or closed beta could do it. And it's like,
King of the Kill. Perfect example. They have a tournament coming out, and the game is
not polished,
flawed in every possible
way. Still in
early
access. Is it?
You know what? Regardless if it's early access or not,
it's
that's
not
kind of
polished.
A BS thing that they throw
out there
on the title to hold it in a development stage for a long
period
of time.
For an excuse to say that there's
DayZ
bugs.
Is still in alpha, right? I mean, I don't even know. That game's been out for 2 years, 3 years
now.
Dude,
it's been out.
I want my money back.
Whatever, a long time.
Long time.
The point is, you make a game good from a competitive standpoint, it's an easy transition into esports then. And so
I agree.
That's a game that'll... RTSs are, fun in that sense, and that could potentially be one, but it's at least a stepping stone. If it's not this one, people will evolve off of it.
So I'm curious, like, how big of a workout is it? Like,
it depends on the... Okay, you saw me playing a game called Super Hot.
You do definitely...
And Super Hot...
It's kind of like aerobics.
...is a timed game where when you're moving, time is running, and when you're not moving, it's, like, still, obviously, at that point, like, red light, green light kind of thing. And you get a workout in that game because you're trying to do everything so quickly and you're ducking and having to dodge bullets because if one bullet hits you, the map resets. And so Tim saw me jumping around.
You move. It's basically like aerobics.
Right.
Dead and Buried is another game. It's a 2-on-2 shooter game. And you can duck behind like boxes and hide behind pillars and adjust side to side. So in that game, when you're naturally doing that, you're trying to avoid everything. So, I mean, you're moving around, and it's not like 30 minutes you're exhausted, but you do it for an hour or consecutive hours, you definitely start to feel a little bit
Let's face it.
So
they're not like... There's not like a whole lot of airflow with that thing on your face. That's really where it gets you.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Yeah, I mean, Tim, you've been in my house, so I could totally turn Brayden's playroom into a setup.
You definitely could. You definitely would have to sacrifice your son's playroom.
I just positioned my wife like, I'm just trying to get healthier, honey.
Yeah,
you do need like about an 8x8 play space.
Yeah. You definitely need room.
This is something we can totally do together.
There was that guy that lost 150 pounds playing something on Steam VR. I can't remember which one it is, but they showed a before picture and after picture and asked him what his workout was.
I could believe it, though.
It was like a boxing game, basically.
You make working out fun, and I'm in.
So wait till this is on the VR topic still. There's a trackpad where you're like running on a treadmill. essentially, and it has a ring around it so you can't fall off
of this barrier.
Yeah. I forgot who makes it. Somebody makes Omni. Maybe it's Omni Gaming. I don't know, something like that. Anyways, they already sell it in, like, picture a game like Skyrim or Fallout 4, which is also coming out this year in VR, so keep your eyes out for that. But that's a full walking game. If you're on one of those pads, you can walk miles. Right.
I would be in on that. So I would be in on that.
Bad excuse for working out, but could work.
Right. You know? Anything that I don't think people are past the excuse. It's just whatever gets it done.
Right.
My take on it, though, because I want to, like, we were just talking about games and esports and VR. I want to take it from kind of the spectator view, right? Because that's where I've heard esports try to get into VR. Where, like, I know there's works where Dota 2, where
it's a built-in application.
It's built in where, say, you're on your Samsung VR or Oculus or whatever, and it basically during matches will put you in the map.
So they've also pitched it with
CS:GO.
They did it with CS:GO through Silverlight. So it was an attached add-on which I downloaded through your. You know, you can get it through multiple places. It's called Silverlight. Within the application, if you had a VR headset, what it did was take you on a CS map, and you're on an overhead view where you're watching people run around. And if you look up in the headset, it's like being in a, it's like watching from a stadium point of view. If you look up, you had the TV screen, which people are watching on their desktop monitors. And if you look down, you had the action going around. Now, which is neat because when you watch CS:GO as a spectator, you're really relying on the video guy to get the action at the right point. And if he doesn't, you miss something big and everybody kind of rages at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the overhead view, you're actually watching things develop from multiple players' overhead perspective. So you don't, they would have to do maybe some type of in and out transition and make that smooth over time.
Right, like go and select them and you jump in or something.
Like something neat like that. But you see the game, I saw the game at least from a different perspective. Just cool. Initially to
not
see.
Not like a normal thing.
It's not
you
something
would do.
I'm going to do every time, but they'll polish it off. It'll become better. Dota 2 is a good experience because Dota 2, our listeners know this, you know, obviously it's very easy to watch from an overhead view because it's straight lanes, right? So,
well, and that's how the game is played.
The game is built from overhead. So this is neat because you see it in a 3D model and it's just a fun way of watching it. That is a little bit easier to watch than Counter-Strike, I would say. Also, Valve put money into it. What's new? Valve put money into Dota 2. They did a good job, and it was fun to watch. And I would watch that again over like a typical CS match in that fashion.
My other concern, and this is a stupid concern, but I'm okay with that. Like, I have no problem going to events and watching people play on their computers and be like, yeah, this is a pro event. This is how it's done. This is what it is.
Be weird for VR.
It would be really weird for me to be watching a dude just sit on a stage doing VR. And like
they would have.
They're
to, like,
basically
do something.
Just he's fighting the guy next to him, and they're both just swinging in the air.
It would be
dodging.
Like watching those schools that do that. What's that Harry Potter game where they're on the broomsticks? They fly around
right,
and they catch
Quidditch.
It. Quidditch. Yeah, there's schools that have Quidditch. It'd be like watching them play Quidditch, basically.
Yeah. Like
shit's not happening, but
blind
you can
men,
like
blind men fighting is what I
you see it,
and that.
They would have to have a screen there for you to watch of obviously the view from the person's perspective.
Yeah, I mean that would obviously have to be
a guy dance
still
around.
Like I don't think I would be able to watch the actual game. I would have to watch these two guys on stage look like they're trying to fight blindfolded.
I don't think that's where this would go for VR long term. It would be more
spectator side
of watching
involved.
From a like on your screen type
right.
thing, not really a live
I
event.
I don't see a giant stadium
five
full
people
of just,
mounted up right next
five,
to each other
five
running.
Five people all have their individual boxes. Just
but you know what? We say that.
5v5, you punch out your teammate.
Right.
Can we
that's
put like a remind me in like 10 years?
Oh,
and come back
I mean,
and
look at
try
like,
this.
I'm sure 20 years ago, people were like, I'm going to sit a bunch and watch people play computer games.
Like,
and now look at this.
You
got
to remember, along with VR, people have to remember there's augmented reality also,
right?
Which you're watching in your own like physical field of view and you're building upon that.
Right.
That could also be neat.
But that requires like a whole room, right?
It does, but maybe you like those RTSs and things like that, these would be the types of games
right.
which could be really neat for VR and augmented reality, maybe some sort of combination of the two at some point. There's potential there though, and it'll be fun to see what it is.
Call
right,
me
you're
when,
gonna have to come over, man.
Yeah, play wizard duel you.
Well, we like can't play Harry each Potter. Other because I don't have two of them. I'm not that. I'm
Are
not
you
there
mean
yet.
You don't have two Oculus Rifts?
Not yet.
Just Expecto Patrol.
What if that's the one game Brett is just better than us on? At? Just yeah. Harry Potter.
Maybe VR is my calling.
Maybe that's what it is. Just ditch Overwatch and Counter Strike and just go to Harry Potter VR.
It's fresh, Tim. Let's not talk about that right now.
Whatever, man. Whatever. All right. Well, that's cool. I mean, when's Gen 2 coming out?
So Gen 2 is not going to come out for a couple of years. So you're going to work within Gen 1.
So I'm probably okay to buy one then.
Oh, yeah. What they've said is they need to give AAA companies time to develop. Because a normal development cycle is like for a big studio, they can maybe do it in 2 or 3 years.
Right.
For a smaller studio, for a full-blown game, you need years of development.
For a good one, if you want to do it right, which I think developers want to start doing it
right. So what they're going to do right is develop it built for VR and not develop it as a port into VR. And so when that happens, these headsets will be good enough for that. You saw the graphics, and I'm running a 970. If you have a 1080, you can like scale these.
Really?
You can scale it up.
See,
and it'll look significantly better.
Like I didn't even notice. It felt good.
The 1080 Ti benchmarks came out. I mean, it's you know, it's a different view to see it from that perspective. So you'll see these headsets stay in for at least 2 years. They'll let AAA studios come out and develop stuff for it. Like I said, Bethesda's coming out with Fallout 4, 150 hours of gameplay, full open world, same types of quests. So that'll be the first big AAA release. And if that does well, you'll see a lot follow. And it's growing, and it's going to stay in this cycle for at least, you know, I would say at least 2 years.
Go big or go home, Anuj, all right? Next time I come over, well, when I come over for VR, I expect a 1080 in that computer.
Man, I'm waiting on the next generation. I want the the new memory video cards. I want the HMB2 video cards to come out, and it's what? It's Volta for NVIDIA.
Right.
And Vega for AMD. Both will announce by summer. We'll see some deals around winter, and then you'll see me and Tim rocking two VR headsets at our homes. Tim is getting into a new home himself, I might say.
Hopefully, yeah. I got the inspection today. Everything seemed fine. So people who've been listening to the show and following our Twitter has definitely known this is not the first time.
I'm rooting for you, Tim.
We'll see.
His friends are rooting for him equally because we're tired of hearing of houses now.
It has been about a year or so looking. So, yes, we're all hoping for that. And then we can start doing the show more often, just doing it from my house or wherever. You might have to drive more than 10 minutes, Brett, but
I have to drive 10 minutes exactly.
So hopefully you could swing that. Hopefully you can.
Mm.
But anyways, I think that just about does it for this episode of TCR. I want to thank everyone for listening. It was fun. Probably the best episode ever. Maybe. I don't know. You be the judge. Let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring on what you thought, or just follow. That would help.
Or join the server.
Join the CSGO server. Join our Discord if you have any questions or want to get in on the conversation. We're always there. I mean, somebody is always there to discuss things.
Give a shout out to somebody that's probably in there right now.
Ignore anything that Quick says because he's just an idiot. We'll stop down any conversation with a stupid comment.
But we love him. Most of us.
Again, probably no episode next week. I'm out of town. I get back Thursday night or Wednesday night, so we'll see what's up. Probably not, though. So just keep an eye on Twitter. Our website, www.tcr.gg, for all the latest episodes. Until then, we'll see you in about 2 weeks or so. Talk some MLG Dallas recap, maybe. What's the next CSGO tournament?
We got DreamHack Austin.
Yeah.
That's the next one?
I think that's
I'm pretty sure. I don't think there's a whole lot of...
Oh, buddy. Okay. Good deal. Well, maybe we'll talk some CSGO for DreamHack Austin and preview
the
whole thing.
By then, so that'll be good.
Yeah, and we'll be 2 weeks away, so...
Damn. Time flies. Time flies. Crazy to think we bought those tickets when there was like a year. Can't wait. Anyways, thank you so much for listening again. At The Center Ring is the Twitter. Go hit it up, and we will see you next time.